Give me ears to hear what you have for me in this training. Pray that prayer for yourself. Give me ears to hear what you have for me in this training. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, don't let me miss out on anything. Don't let me miss out on any aspect. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. And so it shall be in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me add one little thing to the address. And what I want to add is to let us know that the theme of this program is unique because heaven is very precious to us. And I know and I believe we will all make heaven in Jesus' name. In other words, if we are pastoring and we make heaven, that is better for us. Paul the Apostle, when he was rounding up his work in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, he said, I know up there is laid for me the crown of righteousness. I finished my work here, but he's sure that the next place he's going is heaven. After we are pastor here, I believe and I pray we will all make heaven in the name of Jesus. Amen. Tell somebody and say, heaven is my goal. Now maybe you say it this way. Say, with this pastoring work, say, with this pastoring work, heaven is my goal. By the grace of God, I will make heaven. Members of my congregation will make heaven. Say good amen. So in summary, this training is to prepare us for heaven. It's to prepare us for heaven. And then God will now use us to go and prepare our congregation for heaven. So don't miss it. Let our focus be on heaven. So we go to the first talk. The first talk says the lifestyle of a committed pastor. Before I continue on that topic, I wish that everybody that will attend this training today has opportunity to partake in every aspect of this program. Because there's no aspect of this program that you don't need and that I don't need. But in case you only hear a part, and perhaps the part you hear, that doesn't mean always tell us something. He said, when you are in a training like this, as the training goes on, you take note of certain things that you will take action upon after the program, because you are going to hear many things. But you just jot it down. Things that will require your action, that will require that you pray about it, you take action about it, you write it down. So in the light of this, every lecture that we are given, by the grace of God, will be projected word for word. By the grace of God, I believe God will help the media. Now this is to help us follow it. That's number one. Two, you don't need to write what you see on the screen down verbatim. No. Just write the point that you need down, because after this training, all our talks will be put together as a leaflet, as a booklet. Everything will be put, including the welcome address I read now. Everything will be put together. And then we are going to produce a little pamphlet, which if you wish, you can buy. And I've learned my lesson. You know, it's not a matter of printing down the program and then you hand. When we cost it after the program, then we now tell you, it's not going to cost much. But all I'm saying is that everything that has been said in this training will be projected in a way, apart from the word Rema, that will come along with it, the spoken word that will come along with it. So please follow very carefully and then take note of the important things. And the Holy Ghost will be our teacher in Jesus' name. Say a good amen.
Amen.
The lifestyle of a committed pastor. Matthew chapter 20. I read from verse 20 to 28. The second part, I will read that one later. That's the second text. Matthew 20 from verse 20 to 28. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshipping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. And he said unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the ten heard it, they were more with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever shall be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. I go straight away to the introduction. Please, our ushers, people that are coming, just let them come in quietly and sit down. I go straight away to the introduction, then I will explain. Media, I hope you are there. Every committed pastor is expected to have an ideal lifestyle. Everybody say, an ideal lifestyle. Say it again. This is the life he lives consistently and not a one-off practice. In other words, we talk of a lifestyle. We are talking of the pattern of life you are living every moment. Not even limited to every day. Every moment. It's not what to practice and you drop. Your pattern of life. The lifestyle of our Lord Jesus Christ, while he was on the earth here, could always serve as a standard after which every pastor or minister of God could pattern his or her life. Jesus' pattern of life is revealed to us in Matthew 20, 20 to 28 that we read. And what we take note there is, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. This was exactly what he did by sacrificing his life in order to redeem mankind. From what he said, the lifestyle of a committed pastor or minister of God could be expressed in either of two or a combination of these two words, sacrifice or consecration. Everybody say sacrifice. Say it again. Consecration. Say it. In other words, we are saying that the summary of the lifestyle of a pastor, a minister of God, the summary of his lifestyle is sacrifice or consecration. And that is the lifestyle of our Lord Jesus Christ when he came here on earth, sacrificed. And everybody know he ended up sacrificing himself physically on the cross of Calvary. Apart from the fact that before he even came to this world, he had already sacrificed, leaving his glory in heaven. leaving the glory behind in heaven with all his majesty, and he sacrificed those things. Then he now came to give his life a ransom for all. And that is the pattern of life of that is expected of a committed pastor. May the Lord help us to pattern our style of living after the standard set by the Lord Jesus Christ in the mighty name of Jesus. Right away, we go to the words to define. Three important words to define. Pastor. A pastor is a shepherd. Everybody say, a pastor is a shepherd. Please say it loud and clear. He's a shepherd who tends to a flock. He's a minister or priest in the church of God. And someone serving a congregation. Three things. A pastor is a shepherd. A pastor is a minister. A pastor is a servant. Say after me. Say, a pastor is a shepherd. A pastor is a minister of God. A pastor is a servant. Servant of God. Servant to his congregation. Right? That's a pastor. Lifestyle. You know those Bible passages are there. You can always refer to them. It is a lifestyle, is a pattern or style of living that reflect the attitudes and values of a person or group. It is the life a person is used or taken to that reveal whom that person is. As the Lord Jesus Christ said, that he has not come to be ministered unto, but to minister, and give his life a ransom for many. Right? You can talk about lifestyle. I've already explained it. But what we are saying is, what actually reflects whom you are? That is lifestyle. What reflects your values? What reflects your attitude? Anybody that sees your lifestyle can actually define or describe whom you are, or be able to say, this is the kind of person you are. That is lifestyle. So it is an emblem, it is a symbol, it is an identity that you carry away everywhere you go. That is lifestyle. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, look, my lifestyle, my pattern of life, my identity is to give my life a ransom for, to serve, not to be served. Committed. What do we need? What do we mean by committed? It is the state or condition of pledging one's obligation to a cause. It is like being sold out to do something without looking back. Simply put, when you say you are committed, that shows that you are sold out. That shows that you have pledged your loyalty, you have pledged your faithfulness, you have pledged your obedience to what you have committed yourself to. And in this wise, if a pastor, that shows that you are committed to the work of the pastor, you are sold out to the work of the pastor. If when you see somebody who is sold out to the work of a pastor, you know. And if you see somebody who is doing the work of a pastor as a business, you will know. I give glory to God for many of our pastors, even though they are part-timers. But you will know that they are already sold out to the work of pastor. And what amazes me is that there are some full-time pastors. From the life they are living, you will know that, I mean, it is better they are not even called full pastors or full-time pastors, because they are not sold out to the work. And the amount of passion and your commitment and, you know, everything you put in, your loyalty, will determine whether you are, if there's anything the church needs to quickly address, is the issue of getting pastor committed. And I want you to know that that is why we are talking about this thing. Committed pastor. Everybody say committed pastor. So it's not, we can have 1,001 pastors, but how many of them are committed? So pledging your loyalty, pledging everything that you are sold out to it. That is, you know, to be committed. Now we move on. Therefore, for a committed pastor, his style of living is that of being sold out to the cause of serving the congregation, a shepherd without looking back, in line with Jesus' style of life. A pastor is committed to serving and not to lord it over the sheep or congregation. Not to lord it over. You are a servant to the congregation. You are not the Lord. over the congregation. And I think you have to take note of that. You know, in our CCG, this issue of calling ourselves my father and the Lord, my daddy, if he has not taken, it has almost given us another wrong orientation of our allegiance to the church. They call you daddy, they call you mommy, they call you a father and the Lord, mommy. You have forgotten that you are serving them. You have forgotten that you are their servants. So that kind of title and nomenclature has almost rubbish the title we actually carry, which is a servant. You know, I told some of you sometimes ago that one of my pastors in Oyo State was given an appointment as a parish pastor, and he was very happy, very excited by it. But one day we had a program, we said, who have testimony? People were jumping, and he too came out. When he handed the microphone, he said, praise the Lord. I have been appointed as a parish pastor. Now people will now be calling me my father in the Lord. He said, I really give glory to the Lord. They will now be addressing me as our father in the Lord. Look at that kind of impression. I mean, he don't believe that. I mean, once he becomes a pastor, how can that person now regard himself as a servant of the congregation? A father to be now serving the children. Whereas, you are to serve them. You are to serve them. That is your lifestyle. If you don't see it that way, you can't reduce yourself to that level of being a servant. Everybody say, I am a servant. Say, I am a servant. A servant to God. A servant to my congregation. And the Lord will give you the grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Therefore, a committed pastor is a servant leader. A servant and not a lord over his congregation, which is the church of God. The lifestyle of a committed pastor, therefore, must be purpose-driven. And what is the purpose? Service. To serve. That is, if there is anything that is driving you as a pastor, and you want to say, I am purpose-driven, the purpose driving you is service, to serve. Let that one be at the back of your mind. That is the purpose. That is why you cannot rest. That is why you cannot close your eyes. That is why you cannot see the members of the church suffering. That is why you cannot afford to see comfort being lost. That is why, you cannot see your member of the church being in the hospital and you'll be resting at home or somewhere. You must be purpose-driven. That purpose is service, is to serve. To enable him to serve effectively, there are five prominent characteristics that are peculiar to the kind of living he must imbibe in. So take note of this. I may not be able to explain well. There are five things that characterizes the life of a somebody who is a servant to his congregation. Number one, valuing people. Valuing people. The life of members of the congregation must be valuable and precious in the sight and in the mind of the pastor. Precious in the sight and in the mind of the pastor. This value must not be based on what they give to him or to the church, but for whom they are. Let me pause there. Brethren, God will help us in this area. Because the value we place on our members nowadays is resting on what we get from them or what they do for the church. You see, we try to give a special room in our heart to the people that we are getting something from them. To the extent that if we hear that they are the ones that are in problem, you can tear yourself into pieces. You can do anything to inconvenience you, but if they are the people that you are not getting anything from, problem comes. Whereas, the life of our members should be so precious that for whom they are, not for what they are giving you or the church. So, that valuing life is unconditional. No string is attached. Because they are yours, your members, they are your children in the Lord, they are the congregation you are serving. That is why you value their life. Therefore, knowing and admitting this, we serve as the bedrock for laying down the life for them in order to attend to their needs or to rescue them from dangers. Exodus 32, 31 to 33 reveals the attitude Moses maintained when his congregation, the nation of Israel, sinned against God. He preferred to be punished or even die for his people to stay alive. You are reading the passage. The children of Israel, they sinned because they were already worshiping idols. And God said, no problem. I am going to wipe them out. I'm going to wipe all of them out. And Moses said, wipe them out. It's better you kill me. Remove my name out of your book. And God said, it's people that sin that I punish. It's people that sin that I remove their name, not yours. But that is to say, even if the Bible didn't tell us that that Moses cried, who will not know that Moses cried that day? And he has to tell God, he said, God, rather than punishing these people, rather than killing them in the wilderness, you better kill me. I think in Ondo or somewhere, I was trying to tell us what happened some years ago, in Elisha, that the GO placed suspension on workers. And because they didn't come for program, and Daddy Joe said, okay, no problem. All the people that didn't come, you are suspended. Right in our front like this, our late father in the Lord, Pastor Pio Luojo, was our state pastor. Baba busted into tears in front of everybody. In front of everybody, Baba was crying, not hiding it. That how can the general overseer, because when you are placed under your suspension, he said your heaven is sealed up. And Daddy Joe was crying. Daddy Joe had no option than to quickly change what he said. When he saw the value that Baba placed on his men, that for, okay, it means that all my workers, many of them, they will not be able to call upon God for this time of suspension. So when you see a pastor who is really pastoring, the life of the people will be so valuable to you that you cannot compromise it for anything. What our Lord Jesus Christ did for the sake of the life of the disciples and mankind generally also says it all. He laid down his life for the life of others. In other words, good shepherd will give their life, because that's what the Bible says in John 10, verse 11 to 13. John 10, 13, 11 to 13, he said, a good shepherd will lay down his life for the sheep. He said, but an hireling, he said, when an hireling cannot do that because the sheep does not belong to him, he said, an hireling will run. When the wolf is coming, an hireling will run away. But you see a good shepherd, he will lay down his life. Many of us that are full-time, if God is not taking, we are only expecting the end of the month to come. Is with the value we place on money is more than the value we place on the life of people. Just let that money come. If salary is late, we can cry and God. But if any of our members is in need, we can't cry to God, because you don't believe that there is something you can get from the life of the fellow. Let me tell you that God sees your heart, whether you are a shepherd or you're a hireling. God knows. So it's either of the two. It's either you're a shepherd or you're a hireling. And a hireling does not value the life of the sheep because the sheep does not belong to him. So if you are working and you are working as a hireling, that's a problem. That's a problem. So you have to be a shepherd. Then humility. Humility. Good and committed pastors don't promote themselves, but others first. Their humility is intentional and genuine because it has a cost attached, like their reputation, position, ego, etc. This humility provides a premise for total obedience to whatever God commands or demands in order to do his will and to serve the sheep being pastored, even if it is done for them. Humility, forgetting yourself, forgetting your reputation, forgetting even the authority you have over them, you just forget about that one. So you bring yourselves to their level in order to learn, and in order to be able to obey what God asks you to do for them. You can look at the congregation and say, am I the one that saved your soul? You want me to suffer for you? Am I the one, who is your earthly father? I'm only your spiritual father. But you humble yourself. Any time, any moment, every pastor, committed pastor, forget about your title. When if you want to serve God well, if you want to serve the congregation well, number one, it's going to give you a simple heart to learn from God and from your members. Always put your reputation under. Put your title under. Put your ego under. That is the only thing that can make you to go and serve them and, be useful to them as a servant. Trust. Listening. In order to know when or how the service of the pastor is needed, he listens to his members receptively, deeply, and not judgmentally. This group gives room for understanding the people first before seeking to be understood. I want you to say, I must understand my people first. Say it loud and clear. Before I seek for understanding me. Say it very well. At first, when you are pastoring people and you have something in mind, they might not understand you. Almighty God, with everything I am telling these people, they don't understand me. Pipe down. But if they are complaining and they are saying something, try to listen. Understand them first. Why is it that everything we are doing does not change their life? Why is it that their life is not transformed? Listen to them. But if you are just saying that I have something in mind, and you can call the fire down, you can do everything, and you are not getting results, why can't you pipe down and listen? Whatever they now say, listen carefully, deeply, not judgmentally. Don't judge them. So listen very well. We help you to pastor them very well. And then I put a statement here. A leader who has no listening ears cannot have an understanding heart. A leader who has no listening ears cannot have an understanding heart, and we lack comforting words. It will lack comforting words. So, they know the voice of the sheep, and their sheep knows his own. John 10:2-5. Trust. Good shepherd gives some measure of trust to his followers by delegating some assignment to them. For the sake of the people, and to show that he leads by example, he should be prepared to take the risk without fear as a leader who is authentic and dependable. If actually you are leading people, then you should be reproducing yourself with allowing them to handle one or two assignments. If they make mistakes, correct them. You know that our Father and the Lord has always been telling us, if you don't make mistake, if you have never made mistake before, come and say it. They allow them to make mistake. Then, I put a point here. Don't feel threatened. If you are authentic and you know you are authentic, If any of your minister under you or work under you is performing well, give him opportunity to perform. If he has a gift, let him exhibit the gift. Delegate. Sit down, delegate. And where they make error, where they run into a problem, correct them. Don't feel threatened. You know, send them out and give them assignment and take a feedback. Put an element. If you don't trust people, you cannot delegate anything to them. Take the risk of trust. Then, if you are now disappointed, you can look elsewhere. Either you now correct. If they don't take correction, go and look for another person. So, trust. Then, caring. A committed pastor as a servant leader must have people and purpose in his heart. He must display kindness and concern for others. He is there to serve and not to be served. When the multitude following Jesus was hungry, he fed them, not allowing them to faint. He had compassion on them. Meaning what? It is not only being a pulpit pastor. You have to be an individualistic pastor. you know, attend to the needs of individuals in the church. Care for them. If they are hungry, let me tell you, you are hungry. If they are sick, you are sick. If they are poor, you are poor. And what you don't know is that if they are rich, you are rich. If they are very, you know, progressive, oh, you are progressive. The question is, you have to balance your relationship, not only listening to the people that you know they have influence in the church, or people that you know if you don't answer them, they can wrong. No, listen to them. Care for them. Go down to listen to their personal problem, and then how you are going to find solution. I'm talking of a servant leader anyway, and I'm talking of a servant pastor who we want. In Abuja there, we have one of our pastors. I won't mention his name. He has become a PICP now. I'm telling you, if you come to the pulpit to preach, you will want to wonder, what is this man saying? He doesn't have the oratory. He doesn't have the eloquency. But let me tell you, if you say today you are transferring him, you need to do your assignment well. Need to do your assignment well. You need to do your assignment well. They will say, transfer our pastor? Please think twice. So. Because down to the level of children, teenagers, he cares for them. And he can go any length in order to go and visit them, pray for them, you know, spend and be spent for them. And they now know that this is a shepherd. This is not just a pastor. Because he cares for them. If you don't care for your people, I am telling you, you are leaving a vacuum for the wolf to come in. And when the wolves come in, it will not be very easy. So you care. So these are five things that is expected, characterize, you know, the lifestyle of a committed pastor. Characterize, you value people, you humble yourself, you listen to them, trust and caring. Well, I believe there are more. With all this, the Lord will make us qualify committed pastors in the name of Jesus. Say better, amen. The cost of leadership. Okay. Right. The cost of leadership of a committed pastor. Now, in order to meet up with the standard of the lifestyle of a committed pastor, two important areas of counting the cost are developing yourself and then sacrificing yourself. Everybody say, developing myself. Sacrificing myself. Now, these are the areas where you are going to count the cost of servanthood. And I want to listen to me very well. I don't have plenty of time now to explain, but I will read what is there. For those of you that are just coming in, I said everything, nearly everything will be projected. If you can enjoy that little, you don't need to write down verbatim. We are going to pull together all these lectures, and if you have, you can get a copy, and the message is even being recorded. Now, in developing yourself, you know, there are few, a committed pastor must focus on three major areas of developing self, which will also cascade into developing their followers. These are character, competence, and capacity. Everybody say character, competence, capacity. I will say it again. Say character, competence, and capacity. For you to measure up adequately to be able to meet the standard of the lifestyle expected of a committed pastor, these are the areas where you need to pay attention to yourself. And I said, if you pay attention to yourself, it will snowball, it will cascade into the life of the members. If actually you pay attention to yourself, character. The character of a person consists of all the qualities he or she has that make him or her distinct from other people. Character can be used to say what kind of person someone is. Your character is your personality, especially how reliable and how honest you are. If someone is of good character, is reliable and honest. If he is of bad character, he is unreliable and dishonest. Straight away. But in the spiritual language or the Bible language, character for a Christian can be equated to the fruit of the Spirit. I want to say the fruit of the Spirit. Say it again. And that's the fruit of the Spirit. That is what portrays a man's character. Developing character means having and building upon your good behavior. Your good behavior. And then good character keeps you, guides you, and gets you far in life. I am not talking of charisma. I am talking of character. What are we talking about? Say it loud and clear. It's character we are talking about. Your character will keep you, will guide you, and will take you far in life. And that is why you need to develop your character right away. Now, 5 ways to build your character. Number 1, be humble. Humility is the beginning of becoming great. You must be open to new ways or give room for needed change, ready to take correction. That one is to be underlined. Everybody say, ready to take corrections. Say it again. Do you know this kind of training we are doing today? We give us areas of correction. It's now left to us to see whether we will correct ourselves or not. In other words, I'm saying that somebody who is a committed pastor, servant, he has to be teachable. He has to be what? He must be teachable. Because I will be surprised. Oh, glory be to God for Daddy Joe. Baba, he will tell you that the sermon he comes to preach to, especially in solemn assembly, that he must have preached it to himself 3 times. At least 3 times. And let me tell you, I have preached this sermon to myself. Not only by reading it, even in prayer, I have preached it to myself. Teachable. Everything you are hearing today will only benefit you if you are teachable. Humility. 2, live out your principles and values. Practice what is in you. Don't pretend. Live by your principles. Let people see you the way you are. In case there could be 1 or 2 things they could say that could make you improve, either criticism or praise. Let people see you the way you are. Don't pretend. Be intentional. Be sincere. Be original. And accept responsibility. No, don't imitate. And then, if you make mistake, take responsibility for it. Our Father and the Lord, the AGO, had me. There was something that they did in the admin department, and I didn't like it. And you know, the level of relationship I have with him, I cannot hide it. So I call him. And I call him around after 10 in the night. And I explained, I said, Daddy, why should this one happen? Why should this one happen? I said, this is what? Daddy said, I am on my knees. I take responsibility. I said, I take responsibility. I am sorry. And it was far away in Maiduguri when he was answering me. I said, in my heart, I said, this is a leader. He accepted responsibility. When you see somebody who wants to improve on his behavior, on his life, on his character, let me tell you, everywhere is a ground of learning. And everybody you meet in life is your teacher, even your children. So just make sure that you are intentional in what you are doing. You are not pretending. Then practice self-discipline. Have self-control. Develop the ability to do what is right over what is easy. That was loaded. Develop the ability to do what is right over what is easy. That is to say, it may not be easy for you to do it, but you do it because you have to explain to, you have to make people to know that you are intentional in what you are doing. It may not be easy, but it is right. It may not be easy, but it is right. It is right. It's not easy to sell out your ego. It's not easy to forget your reputation and begin to bend down for people that are under you. It's not easy. But you can go ahead and do what is right over what is easy. It may not be easy at times. Just to make sure that you display the type of person you are, then be accountable. Surround yourself with people who have high expectation. Open yourself up to accountability. Allow people to push you to high character. Realize that your shortcomings can find different ways to improve yourself. Realize that your shortcomings, you know, can help you find different ways to improve yourself. Please correct it. Your errors, your mistake can help you to find out how you can improve yourself. So, it is not unspiritual to have mistakes, to have errors, but it is unspiritual when you are not ready to take correction. It's unspiritual. So, competence now. This is the ability to do media. God bless you. This is the ability to do something successfully and efficiently. To get something done with expertise and do it efficiently and effectively. This can come either through building on your skill or your talent, then I added nothing, or your gift. Learn how to do it better. Maybe by the grace of God, by the virtue of your training, you are skillful in certain things, you are talented in certain things, you are gifted in certain things. All those things will help your competence. Your competence is ability to do things efficiently and effectively, and you are able to do it in a way that will be acceptable to people, but you can build on it because, you know, as you continue to learn, then your level of competence continue to increase. When you develop competence in areas important to you, the benefits include 1, having more self-reliance, make fewer mistakes, which means you will need less time to finish tasks, become more knowledgeable and informed, then improve your chances of taking advantage of. Those are the benefits of developing your competence. As you benefit from your improvement, the people you are serving also will benefit directly or indirectly. 5 ways to develop competence for better result. Identify areas of improvement or skill you want to develop. These are the kind of the assignment I want you to do. You know, practical aspect of what you are hearing now. As I'm talking to you now, note that point. You want to develop your competence of how to do things better. Then look at the areas. Identify areas of your improvement. Where do I need to improve? Don't be too proud that you don't want to look at that side. Write it down quietly and say, where do I need to improve? That is one side. So then join dedicated network or groups. You could most of the time leverage the knowledge and experience of others in the quickest way to develop competence. Be ready to learn from others. Network from your colleagues. At times, most of the time, when we see people that preach good messages or do things in the right way, there's nothing wrong. If you leverage and you go to them, oh, God bless you, my colleague, my brother. By the way, I really enjoy what you did, but can you give me a little bit of how you arrive at this? Oh, I do it once in a while. Oh, how did you do it? Thank God, Pastor Kuti is alive. There are certain, there was a time when he was in that time in Anambra, and there are certain things he did. I sat him down. I said, Pastor Kuti, tell me, how do you do this thing? Oh, your church is not moving. And you see another pastor whose church is moving. Why can't you go to him? Eko wa be se nse. I want to say that. Ogami kan wa mba da. Ani te ba la tan e ma sa kenu. No, if you are succeeding, we I too want to succeed. You see the church of your colleagues that is boosting, that is growing like wildfire. Ah, and your own is going down or stagnant. Go to him and learn. Oga, please tell me, how are you doing it? One of my sons in the Lord. He's not in Ondo State here. His ministry is doing well. Once in a while, I go to him, I say, come. It is true. Some years ago, I was knocking you on the head. I used to knock him on the head. But I thank you because you are improving now. Please teach me, how are you doing it? and I learned from him. That is when you leverage, you join the network of the progressive, because you too want to progress. Nobody is an island of knowledge. You need to learn from other people to improve your competence. You have not known how to do it all. Then, challenge yourself through practice and action. Learn competence through doing it. Practice makes perfect, as they say. Meaning that it will be easier to do it after a period of time. Practice makes perfect. Don't be afraid of making mistakes. Practice what you have known. Then ask for feedback consistently. You won't know how you are doing if you don't track your progress. You won't know how you are doing. You won't know how you are doing. Whether you are doing bad or you are not doing well or you are doing well. You won't know until you're able to track your progress. Have someone who can hold you accountable and provide constructive feedback. Have a mentor. Have a leader that you can listen to. Have colleagues that will not deceive you. So that when you surround yourself with that kind, with those kind of people, then you have already surrounded yourself with teachers that you don't pay. Then teach what you are learning. When you do so, you get to learn it twice. It is also confirming that what you are sharing will provide opportunities to enhance your understanding of the task or skill you want to improve upon. Teach what you know. What you say you have been learning. Now, what am I saying? After a training like this, I believe God must have loaded you with values, must have loaded you with treasures. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Go and teach others. Go and teach others. The more you teach them, the more you become, the more you even learn. The Holy Ghost will come to you and then will make you better. Don't keep it to yourself. That's how to improve. But let me make one comment that is not here. That is competence and character. The two of them are equally important. I will give an example now. Supposing you employ a driver. He's competent, but he doesn't have good character. In other words, okay, before I actually qualify it, we have a driver. He can drive so carefully, you can be sure that you enjoy the driving. Almighty God. But he has one problem. Give him 5,000 naira to go and buy fuel in the filling station. By the time you check the gauge, you will notice his fuel of 3,000 naira. I mean, he can drive very well. But then you have another person. Give him 5,000 naira to go and buy fuel. He will almost buy 5,000 plus. The fuel is all right. But you need to open your two eyes when he's driving. So that it will not crash land, it will not drive you to the bush. That is a war between competence and character. The two of them are very important. In character, you can be good, but in competence, you have to be good as well. And in competence, you can be good, but character. There are some of us that cannot keep our congregation one because our behavior is bad. And there are some of us, we cannot keep our congregation only because our messages are not good. You are not competent in what, and they have seen your flaws. That is why the two have to go together. You develop your character, you develop your competence. You need the two if actually you will impact their life. The two are very, very important. They know and they see where you are good. They see where you are bad. So, you need, and then capacity. There's a comment I want to make before I talk about that one. Capacity. The ability to use and understand information to make a decision and communicate any decision made. Ability to handle information or what you have learned and apply it correctly. It also means the amount, the volume you can produce or you can handle or which you can become. The scope of what you can handle or capacity will determine how well you can perform on the assignment given to you. If you are given an assignment bigger than your capacity, failure or ineffectiveness and inefficiency are inevitable. Let me pause there. If care is not taken, you will want to find out why some parishes are not growing. The reason may be, at times, most of the time, is because the scope of the demand of the parish, of the church, has gone beyond the capacity of the pastor, capacity of his wisdom, capacities of his anointing, capacity of his strength, capacity of his knowledge, and is not building on it. There are many of us that are praying, I want to become area pastor. I want to become zonal pastor. When your capacity cannot handle more than that of a parish pastor. And you will see, when some people have been appointed as, provincial pastors, you will see it. They are less qualified. I give glory to God for those who are overqualified. And I don't care giving this testimony. When I was in Oyo State, as the provincial pastor in charge of Oyo 2, on the day of my sent forth, people came out and they were giving testimonies of what the Lord had used us for and what they gained from our life. The PFN chairman came and he said, this man, he said, it's very distinct. He said, of all the assistants I have, if he will not come to meeting, he will tell me. If he will come to meeting, he will have arrived before anybody and give him any assignment, close or eyes. Baba Ilori was there as if he didn't hear. Baba, when he handled the microphone, he said, this my son, I know he's overqualified for the post where he is. He's overqualified. If you are less qualified, people know. Because you cannot go beyond your capacity. Build the capacity of what you can handle. And I put something here. How you can do that? Take up challenge. And then work on your competence and your character. Work on your competence and your character. Your capacity level will increase. And after this particular training, I want you to go and work on your character, on your competence. If you work on the two of them, then the scope of your capacity will increase. Give me a region I can manage it. Give me a nation I can handle, because you have been loaded with what can make you handle the assignment given. But if you are not well trained, imagine a doctor, a surgeon, who is not well trained, goes to the theater and begins to operate on people. It's another manslaughter, you will see. It just be killing people all around. That's why you see some of them forgetting some medical equipment inside a woman's womb. You see, and I want you to know that if you are not competent, you can turn out to be a murderer, a killer. Rather than helping the church of God, rather than you be killing them. Therefore, brethren, there's one area that I want you to really focus. This is spiritual. To fast track your development of character, competence, and capacity, you must commit yourself to two things: the ministry of the word and the ministry of prayer. Everybody say the ministry of the word and the ministry of prayer. Leave serving the table to many people. Just leave it to them. Concentrate ministry of the word and ministry of prayer. Holy Ghost. Oh, Daddy G also told us something. I think it was yesterday. That how many of us can fast for 3 days and say, God, the only thing is that I just want you to know you more. You bear me witness? You just say, God, beat me up. Draw me closer to yourself. I want to know. So, that is what, Peter said. When some people were murmuring in the early church, he said, okay, no problem. Let's get some people that will be serving the tables. We that are pastors, we will give ourselves to the ministry of the word and the ministry of prayer. Don't let anything take away the ministry of the word and the ministry of prayer. Commit yourself to it, because you've been proven by it. This man that is prospering very well in Port Harcourt, that's Ibiome. When he was just starting and he was parabolating, he told us, he told the congregation, it was secret one day, especially his minister. He said, when I was not growing and the ministry was not growing, he said, my father and the Lord called me. That is Bishop Edepo. He said, come, he said, my son, come. I will tell you how your capacity can increase. As from today, whatever you will do, leave other things aside in order to make sure that you go and develop your character and then your competence. I said, your capacity will increase. Look at it now. And the man, you know, he has the largest auditorium, at least in Port Harcourt. Brethren, I'm telling you, you want to become a better pastor? Pay attention to yourself. Develop your character, develop your competence, and allow God to. And when you give attention to the ministry of the word and the ministry of prayer, the Holy Ghost will do the rest, and you will not fail in Jesus' name. Amen. The last person in 2 minutes, I read that one, sacrificing yourself. It is essential to know that total commitment to God and his work could only be possible when one is ready to offer oneself as a living sacrifice to God. As a living sacrifice to God. Sacrifice is a force behind acceptable service to God and for a productive life as a minister of God. Now, this sentence. A sacrifice is a service you render or something you give that causes you something. Let me pause there. All these things we are saying, in order to develop yourself, serve the congregation, it will cost you something. Everybody say, it will cost me something. Say, it will cost me something. It may cost you your sleep. It may cost you your food, satisfying your belly. It may cost you your substance, your money. And I'm telling you, only a service that is rendered to God, only a service that's rendered to God as a living sacrifice, costing you something. That is the only service that is acceptable to God. And we serve God at our leisure now, and God will say, no. Why can't you refer to the story of David in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24? 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse. He said, I would like to give God something without counting the cost. I will buy the threshing floor. I will buy all the bullock because I can't offer anything to God without counting the cost. So, sacrificing yourself. Yes, as yourself. Sacrificing yourself. What you do out of inconvenience or pain, it takes something out of you as a cause for what you are doing. Without a sacrificial life, there can be no revival or progress of the church as expected. It is one of the forces we need if we want to take over the kingdom. That sacrifice starts from consecrating our life as a living sacrifice offered to God without looking back. Everybody say, without looking back. Say, without looking back. I want you to say, I am going forward. I am not looking back. Stand on your feet and say, I am going forward. I am not looking back. I have surrendered to Jesus. I am not looking forward. I'm not looking back. Say, I'm not looking back. Oh yeah, confess it for a few minutes. Say, I am moving forward. I am not looking back. I am sold out to this work. I am sold out to this assignment. I am ready to pay the price by your grace. I am not looking back at all. I am not looking back. It is too late for me now to look back. I am going forward. Give me the grace to pay the price. Give me the grace to pay the price. Give me the grace to be a servant leader, a servant pastor. Give me the grace to be totally committed to this work in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yamasakaya makro oshenkiriba. Give me the grace to be totally and completely committed in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Almighty Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Say, Father, whatever is blocking my way from sacrificing myself for you, bulldoze them with your fire. Go ahead and cry to the Almighty God. Whatever wants to block my way from sacrificing my life for your work, bulldoze them out of the way in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That they bulldoze them out of the way in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Say, Father, draw me closer to yourself and let me know you more and more. Cry to the Almighty God. And draw me closer to yourself. Let me know you more and more. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rabakaya bako kabo se krimarobo shendia. Ramakaya bakrobo ye krimarobo shendia. Ramakrobo shendia. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Finally, pray and say, Father, the anointing and the grace of a servant pastor of a good shepherd. Let that anointing rest on me. Let that grace rest on me. The mighty name of Jesus Christ. That the Lord, I am asking the anointing and the grace of a servant pastor, committed pastor, Daddy, let them rest upon my life in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me begin to see you and not myself. Help me to be sold out to this work in the mighty name of Jesus. Help me, Lord, to develop myself in character, Lord, my Father, in competence, in capacity, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Almighty Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. A better amen. Put your right hand on your head, because I told God that in this meeting there's going to be an impartation. And I told the senior pastor, I said, why do we need to call the meeting of a whole region? I said, God told me there will be a direct impartation. Yeah. Forget about your inability. After this encounter, the Lord will expand the scope of your capacity in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Everlasting Father, you are our commander-in-chief. Whosoever you send on an errand, you will give him a message. Whosoever you give an assignment, you will equip him. You are the one that called all of us. All these your children. Father, equip us in the mighty name of Jesus. The anointing of a failure in their life, I cancel it today in the mighty name of Jesus. The anointing of a weakling in their life, I cancel it in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray today, Lord, my Father, Lord, the grace to increase in character, in competence and in capacity. Father, give unto them in the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, as you are impacting them, that they use them to impact their congregation positively in the name of Jesus. As they move forward, I pray their child will not be left behind in the name of Jesus. Now, from today, Lord, I decree the grace to be a servant pastor, a servant leader, a shepherd to the heart. Give unto everyone in the mighty name of Jesus. So, as heaven is our goal, as we are shepherding and pastoring, we will not miss heaven together with our members in the mighty name of Jesus. Our family members also will not miss heaven in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Almighty Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.